Mahoney's Irish Pub and Steakhouse presents
the Colvin Brothers Podcast.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
Run and tell your brother.
Oh, brother.
You're listening to the Colvin Brothers.
Take this, brother.
I've always dreamed about having a brother.
Brother Michael.
My name is Michael.
A-A-R-S cars for kids.
Yorga, my brother.
The Colvin Brothers.
The family tree, Michael and Steven, brothers.
It's the Colvin Brothers plan.
You was my brother, Charlie. You should have looked out for me a little bit.
Watch it, buddy.
So, what did your brother do to you?
Why did I take this gig again?
How you doing? This is Roosevelt Colvin.
With six, you get Egg Roll and the Colvin Brothers on Z93.
Yes. I would think that'd be more of a fact. It wasn't really fun.
Number six for Colvin.
I'm going to wipe the floor with you, Woody.
Let's see about that, kid.
Michael!
I am your brother! The Colvin Brothers.
Ash Brown.
Comedy.
On Z93. The Colvin Brothers 100th episode.
Today's show is brought to you by the number 100.
On Z93.
It's Sunday, you know what that means. It's time for the Colvin Brothers Podcast. And you know what? This is a special occasion. We've done this for 100 shows.
And
we're going back to when everybody, not just RJ, were wearing masks. Okay, this is with a pandemic.
Right.
Back in 2020,
mm-hmm.
We started the show in August.
Yeah.
And because of our friend Anthony, who will eventually get on a show, even though he works for a competitor, we did a thing called Boardwalk Radio.
Right.
And then we did a thing called Yacht Rock Radio,
mm-hmm.
which RJ still does.
Yep.
But the Colvin Brothers Podcast came out of that little experiment with Anthony.
Right, and it actually coincides with our second anniversary. Everything's this week. It's our 100th episode, second anniversary. It's my birthday show. And, it was something to do during COVID because you always had another side hustle. Like, you were a salesperson in addition to being a DJ. I've only done one thing since I'm 16 years old, and I was forced to do Instacart. As a way of, you know, keeping food on the table. I've also talked about how I turned this very man cave into Mahoney's for 9 months. But, you know, the amount of money I was able to make, you know, dwindled to next to nothing. And I went to our old GM, who's not even there anymore, Chuck Benford. And I said, you know, me and my brother have been farting around on the internet. And I said, I think we got a show here. He listened to like one break and agreed. And that was 2 years ago this week. The first show aired the 9th of August. Today's the 7th. And we've been going strong ever since. And it's been what's cool about it is that it's evolving. Like, you know, it started out with just the two of us at the iHeart Studios doing almost a straight show, and it's turned into the themes. And yeah, we're in the cave with our guests. Sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's other professionals. We had an author on last week. So this tonight, what is the new wrinkle that we're going to be adding to the show? It's not going to be every week, but at least once a month we're going to do this.
Well, you know, we have a lot of talent in our family, and on our mom's side is our Aunt Helene.
Right.
She has three children
that are not Crunch.
And one of their children happens to be in a band. He wants to be Dave Grohl when he grows up.
Okay.
But he's in a band called Axis One. Uh-huh. And we've got them in the studio.
Yeah, so they're going to do, you'll hear as we're coming in and out of some of the segments, almost like a Jim Fallon, David Letterman type of thing where, you know, you hear him for like 20 seconds or so. Then at the end, we'll give Thomas a moment in the spotlight to talk about what's happening with the band. And they'll perform one of their originals.
One of the cool things that he's going to talk about is something that's coming up local for our friends here in Poughkeepsie. So we'll share it on our page too, the Colvin Brothers on Z93.
Yeah, so we're real excited about that. And the theme, what we did, we wanted to turn over to listeners. And of course, our top fan, our number one listener, Darren Droge, out there in Denver, Colorado, Denver Darren, said, hey, it's National Friendship Day. And I think that's perfect because the show is about friends and family. And that's what our rock and roll theme is. So we kicked off with Queen, and You're My Best Friend doesn't need any real introduction on that one. And we're about to go into the Stones. But before that, let's talk. Who else do we have in the studio with us?
We have D.O.T. Taylor, who in a couple months will be plowing the snow on Salt Point Turnpike, right?
We're already getting our routes ready.
And then we also have Mr. Rob Johnson, otherwise known as RJ.
Hello there.
We're going to call them the COVID brothers. Now, I have to say, RJ, we bust your balls almost weekly about how like you're like the one guy. We actually made you into a Hudson Valley hero. You're like the one guy that wears a mask voluntarily, and it done you wrong. It done you in, yet you still wear it. It's almost like you got Stockholm syndrome. When are you going to realize that the mask is not your friend?
Well, it's not that the mask is not my friend, but the mask, like anything else, nothing is 100%.
Well, it sounds like shit on the air. I'm just going to say that right now.
Working in guest services up at Bethel, I'm within 2 or 3 feet of people taking their tickets, taking their phone, checking it.
Well, George just had COVID at the same time as you. Don't you guys cancel each other out? It's the one thing I don't have. In fact, I told the hospital if I get it for my next stay, I'm signing a DNR.
It's not so much for me. It's protecting other people as well.
I don't want your protection.
All right, let's get right into it. The Rolling Stones, Waiting on a Friend with the Colvin Brothers on Z93.
Watching girls pass by. We'll be right back.
Z93 listeners, it's your old pal Breckman. I want to congratulate Mad Mike and the Sizz on their 100th show on iHeartRadio. And as executive producer, I want to publicly thank all fans of the show for allowing me to be a small part of the Colvin Brothers experience. I wish Mike and Steve continued on-air success and look forward to seeing my salary double in the future. Oh, wait a minute. 2 times 0 is still 0.
It's the Colvin Brothers on Z93, and we're coming out of our Cousin Thomas's band, Axis One, right there.
I like the way this feels, man. If it's very Fallon-esque.
Well, you know what? It's one of those things where I was just thinking about it, and I thought it would be a cool thing for our 100th show. Because
I've been wanting to incorporate bands for a while, and this is a great way to introduce it. Like, maybe not every week, but we could certainly get like the Team McCann band and Kirsten Lee and people like that. I mean, geez, we know... Between the two of us, we know every band in the area.
We'll have RJ sing us some Webb Wilder into break.
I was hoping he was going to do like an acoustic set, yes.
Just tell me when.
The Colvin Five.
Are you ready for the Colvin Five?
Five.
Five.
Five. On Z93.
All right, so the Colvin Five is sponsored this week by Belize Jewelers, Route 82 by Hopewell Bagels, open Tuesday through Saturday, 845-227-2550. What's really cool is I was talking to James, the owner. He said today is exactly 25 years ago when he opened up his doors.
See, all the anniversaries today. It's our second anniversary, our 100th show, and it's the 25th anniversary for Belize Jewelers.
And he's a big community guy. He always gives back. He's one of those guys that you see at the Renegades game quite often. They sponsor a lot of stuff. And our mom went there. Albert's mom, when he was on the radio show, mentioned that she went there. Mm-hmm. So make sure you go over and see James, Route 82. And one of the cool things, too, is like if you're I have a Yankees watch, which...
You don't say.
And it's not on me right now. No, but I went there to get a battery changed. And if you go to one of like the big box stores and whatever's left over in the mall, not only will they charge you double what James will...
Well, you have to pay the rent.
But they'll also make you come back 3 weeks later. So if you need something like that, you need customer service, he'll literally stop what he's doing, have a conversation with you, and take care of you right then and there.
Yes,
and,
no, he's and a box, very, very good guy.
The box stores will drop off, and you have to come pick it up.
Yeah, so, you know, go see James. So, tell him the Colvin Brothers sent you.
Look, the Colvin Five, and this is, as always, and we've been doing this for 2 years, generated by a meme that my brother put up on the Facebook page. He runs all the Facebook page. I'm a Luddite, all right? I'm 53 years old, or I will be in a couple of days. All right, he handles that. I handle the show production and the sound. So he puts it up there, and the running joke on this show, if you've been listening for 2 years, is that I never saw any 80s movies. Now, here's what happened. Because of the show, I have since seen two of these, and they're both in the body of the five. So I will tell you what my pick was when we get to it in the five. So, Steven, you go ahead first.
Well, let me give you the choices. All right, so the meme was 80s villains. You know, who was the biggest dick? Okay.
Yes.
Ace in Stand By Me, played by Kiefer Sutherland. And I know Thomas is a big movie guy, too, so he's thinking in the background. You can let us know who yours is. Biff in Back to the Future. Chet in Weird Science, which was Bill Paxton, brilliantly played.
Rest in peace.
Steph in Pretty in Pink. Pretty in Pink, which was James Spader. Stan in Revenge of the Nerds, which is it Thomas McGinley? Is that his name?
Ted McGinley. We're going to talk about him, too.
Walter Peck in Ghostbusters, which...
Dickless over here. Yeah.
It was the redhead. I can't remember what his real name is. I don't think he did anything after Ghostbusters. Maybe small roles.
He's a character actor, so he turns up here and there.
All right. Johnny Lawrence in Karate Kid, which we all know how... I'm wearing the shirt. Cobra Kai came back.
Well, again, something I wouldn't have known, but because of our show, I do know.
And then Vernon in Breakfast Club. So those were the choices. So reach over to Thomas. So Thomas, who would you pick out of there? Who's the biggest villain out of everybody that I just mentioned?
I'm going to say Biff.
Biff? All right, Biff from Back to the Future.
Now, the thing, and I pointed this out because I watched Back to the Future. I was guilted into it because I think it was RJ that actually put up a meme, and it ended up on my page, and he said, "Whatever you do, Marty, don't set that to 2020." It was a reference to COVID.
Yeah.
And I had made a comment about how I'd never seen it, but I get the joke. And Cousin Ben, he opened up the Kraken. He released the Kraken on me.
Cousin Ben or fake RJ?
No, well, you guys are one and the same. You've never seen the two of you in the same place. But so because it was the pandemic, and you know, I have a way of getting things. I watched all three Back to the Futures, and of course they get progressively worse as you go through it, but I have seen that as a result. So those are our picks. RJ, what do you got for this one?
I'd have gone with Walter Peck. For those who don't know Ghostbusters, he's the know-it-all EPA agent who went in, shut the power off, collapsed the power grid, nearly caused the apocalypse in 1984 in Ghostbusters.
Okay, and George?
I agree with that.
So both of you guys are on the Ghostbusters page? Okay.
You wanted to punch in the face.
Yes. And the best is the scene in the mayor's office right afterward.
Well, who picked number five on our list?
Number five, Darius in Atlanta. Stan in Revenge of the Nerds. But then again, Ted McGinley ruins everything so much that it's become a TV trope.
Off the top of my head, he ruined Happy Days, Love Boat, Married with Children.
He didn't ruin Love. He didn't ruin Married with Children because he was an original cast member of Married with Children.
No, he replaced.
Steve.
He replaced Steve.
He was Steve.
No,
he wasn't.
No,
he replaced. Now we're him. Correcting you,
correcting RJ.
But yeah, anything that where he was brought in after the first season,
he was brought in as a replacement, and he absolutely ruined.
Steve left the show.
Okay,
and then the ultimate Karen. I forgot what her name was. Marcy Darcy or whatever.
Yeah. She married. It was Steve and Marcy Darcy. Yeah.
Yeah. She was the original Karen. If you want to look back and go back.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Who's got number four?
Number four is our sister Carolyn out in Petaluma, California. Definitely Chet. That doofy laugh. He was also a jerkwad.
A jerkwad. That sounds very Carolyn-esque.
That was Bill Paxton. If you need a little recollection.
Oh really? From Big Love?
No, Chet. Well, yeah, but yes. But the Weird Science.
Oh, okay.
Is what we're
I never saw it, so I didn't know.
Number three, George.
Jennifer Toth has Steph and
Jennifer Toth. You can say the Toth Fairy.
Actually, it's pronounced Toth.
Is it really?
We've always said Toth Fairy, which is hilarious. So keep that in there.
Yeah, I'm actually doing the actual enunciation for it. Steph and Pretty in Pink, definitely. He can take his stupid loafers and shove them up his butt.
I got Cousin Ben, oddly enough, following the Toth Fairy. Biff in Back to the Future, and I can back this up now that I've seen Back to the Future. Now, they don't use him as much in the sequels, but I thought in the original, yeah, he played quite the D-bag.
All right, so the big closer, in the Florida Panhandle, Johnny Lawrence from The Karate Kid. Send that one to the internet.
All right, yes. Now, again, because of the show, I am not only familiar with Johnny Lawrence, I would probably say he'd be my pick, and they are coming back, was it next month, right, because it's already August?
September, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be great. So we're getting Ted Lasso soon. We're going to be getting Karate Kid. And I heard there's like seven different new versions of Walking Dead, but we don't have time to talk about that right now.
Take it away, Axis One.
Hi, this is Louis Chu. You're listening to the 100th episode of the Coven Brothers on Z93. I have the 100 emoji on my smartphone. I'm going to click it now. Thank you.
It's the Colvin Brothers podcast and Led Zeppelin friends, because after all, this theme this week is friends. And, you know, we're all friends here.
Thomas, we're not doing a TV show.
Thomas is a cousin, you know, but I'm sure you brought your friends, right? From Access One, those are your friends?
I would say they're my friends, yeah.
I think bandmates become friends.
Unless you're the Black Crows, you know, they're family and they hate each other. Right? Is that what we talk about?
Oasis,
that happens a
well,
lot.
That's any band with brothers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Kinks, Black Crows, Oasis. The list goes on and on. Beach Boys, notoriously. Holy crap.
I don't know about Kings of Leon, because I think they all get along. They might be the exception.
There's three brothers and a friend, and, right?
I think there's three brothers and a cousin.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah. So they're really related.
Does RJ know that it's not this month, but in September, we're doing only a Gary Cherone type show? So we're going to be playing all Extreme and all Van Halen with Gary Cherone.
Nice.
And I just made that all up.
There was an interview with, it probably was with Eddie. It was right when they're getting ready to bring David Lee back for the first time. Because I know they tried that a couple of times. And the interviewer, it was like a national show, like Westwood One, you know, brought up the Van Halen 3 album. He's like, oh, yeah, that one went triple plywood. I thought that was great.
Well, you know, what was it with the... We're talking way too much about Gary Cherone. Yeah. But I remember Wholehearted, though, came up on one of my mixtapes back
tune.
In the day. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they were very talented. They just imploded. You know what it was? They weren't quite a hair band. They were too talented for that, for one thing. So the type of music that they were doing, they were competing with grunge, and they just got lost in the shuffle. But they were like almost like a prog metal band.
And Nuno Bettencourt still turns up in different bands.
They make their money. Yeah. They just couldn't make it as a touring. People just didn't care enough to buy the records.
All right, so we're doing our 100th show, and if you've been listening for 100 shows, you know that we do games. You know, every once in a while, and I think we got a quiz, right?
We do, but I have to step out and take my meds.
All right, so who's coming in?
Our favorite aunt. Apparently, it's also Cousin Thomas's grandmother.
Oh, so Barbara's here.
Well, hello, babe.
Hey, Barbara, you want to say anything to Thomas?
Oh, my God, he looks just like John. Get him the hell away from me. Tell him to get that goddamn Maverick out of my driveway. It's leaking all over the place. Mr. Travelpiece slipped and broke his high heel.
Oh, man. I know Aunt Helene's listening. So
is Helene out there?
Yeah, she's
Helene,
out there.
Get out there and take out Flap. Well, let me introduce the concept of the game. It's 2 years of the Colvin Brothers. So the game today is Know Your Colvins. There's 10 questions. So we've got the Colvin Brothers' immediate family and a couple of people that we've talked about plenty of times on the show.
All right, I got a buzzer.
You know who the Colvins are. Give one to Thomas.
Here,
don't
Thomas.
Be an idiot. Isn't that what Frank would say? Hey, I can do the two.
Yeah, Frank, you're playing some Johnny Cash. You love Johnny Cash, right?
You're stealing my thunder. Number one, Know Your Colvins. Prominently featured on Netflix documentary Untold, Crimes and Penalties.
Stephen Colvin.
Yeah, that's me. I got a GIF, man. Did anyone watch that show?
I only watch Regis.
All right, so RJ's in the lead. 1-0.
Number two, used her dishwasher to store snacks until the mice figured her out. Played those goddamn Johnny Cash records.
George.
Hey, Jude.
Oh, there you go. I hate that song, too.
And ironically, Dad got rid of the dishwasher, you know, the weekend when she passed, because I have a picture of it sitting on the front porch. So when everybody came in for the wake, there's the old dishwasher right on the front porch. Oh, poor Mom.
Number three.
Yeah.
We'll often give Christmas gifts of photos with your ex torn out.
RJ.
Mike?
No, it's your pseudo mom.
We'll often give Christmas gifts of photos with your ex torn out.
RJ again.
Aunt Cheryl?
Aunt Cheryl,
oh. Another freak. I don't have to worry about it. She still can't figure out how to listen to the show 2 years later.
What's next?
Needs a cocktail.
George.
Cousin Kirsten. Oh, you know, you couldn't have a 100th show without having me here from Texas, all right? Oh, this show is all about me. Celebrate life. Michael's faking it. I can prove it.
Next up, needs a kidney.
George.
John Winfrey.
He's not a Colvin. RJ for the steal.
Mad Mike.
Does Jude still give him the bowl cuts for his hair?
I don't know, Barbara, but let me tell you something. You know, Uncle Paul and Michael got in a lot of trouble back in the day over at Peach Lake.
So, wait, Mike was the original Will Byers?
Yes.
Before me, yeah. We had all the bowl haircuts. Poor Carolyn had one, too, when my father was in charge of giving her a haircut.
Jude cut his ear when he was 5. He's still traumatized. Next up, decided she had enough of the family by age 17 and never came back.
RJ.
Is that Carolyn?
That is Carolyn. The obscure sister.
Yes. I think Michael's, one of his exes, Heather, calls her Mary Poppins.
Is that who does it?
Yeah.
I never met her.
Who'd you meet? Did you ever meet Stacy?
Is that the one that killed the guy?
No, that was... Actually, I haven't been in touch with Stacey in a while, so maybe, you know, she's on that list, too.
Brother could really pick them.
What do you got next, Barbara?
Number 7, would routinely polish off a six-pack by 9 a.m.
George, go ahead.
Frank.
That would be Frank. Drink almost as much as my Lenny.
Idiot.
You're all idiots.
All right, here we go. Number 8, could name all the Beatle albums by age 2.
RJ.
Bryce.
Colvin, yes. It's Know Your Colvins.
It's our 100th show. Where is Bryce?
She's out in the car.
All right.
The window's open? Cracked? At least?
No. RJ's in the lead. 4-3.
Number nine.
You know what's funny? I have to bring this up because since you did. I announced there's two players, you know, obviously both of them are wearing number 9. And I'm doing number 9. And everybody in front of me in the crowd started said, number 9. Number 9.
See? Your brother does that to people.
What is it? The Helter Skelter album?
Yeah, the White Album.
Yeah.
Oh, White Album.
Nice try.
All right, the Helter Skelter was on White Album, so yeah.
Oh, shut up.
I'll allow it.
Dirt Cheap and Done Right.
Dirt Cheap and Done Right.
Did Less Work for All of Us, Christopher.
That's right. Another one of those Colvins that couldn't make it.
I think Thomas is going to have to start listening to the show more. He's got 0.
He doesn't even know his own grandmother.
All right, last one. Tie. It's a tie. This is the winner.
Tiebreaker. Wanted in the state of Oklahoma.
RJ.
Is that Martin?
Cousin Marty.
Cousin Marty. Hey. Who's another one that's listening? Is that
as long as he's not in Oklahoma.
All right, so the winner is RJ. By a score of 4-3.
Give him a slice of pizza.
Actually, I'm going to give him a lifetime supply of Hydrox cookies.
You know what? Michael's got many masks.
Are you trying to kill me?
Michael's got so many masks in his closet now, just give him a box.
You know what? Thomas may have come up with a 0, but this next tune that we're going to get from Axis One, that's going to be a 10.
That's almost the percentage of Mikey's blocked artery. The Colvin Brothers 100th episode on Z93.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. I'm not ashamed to say it always will stay this way. My hat is off. Won't you stand up and take a bow?
Being a friend.
For being a
Colvin Brothers on Z93. Andrew Gold, thank you for being a friend for everybody listening out in St. Olaf. If you don't get the reference.
I don't get the reference.
Then you didn't watch Golden Girls with your mom.
Did
picture
not.
It. Sicily, 1922.
It was Betty White's a character, Rose. She would always talk about St. Olaf stories, and you know, mom would be chuckling.
Back in St. Olaf.
Yeah, yeah. I think we talked about this many times on the show. If I was downstairs with Frank, it was Barney Miller and MASH. And if I was upstairs, it was Falcon Crest, Dallas, and Golden Girls.
Oh, okay.
That sounds familiar.
There was no show that they both watched.
I think that was the dynamic in my family, too.
Yeah.
Or I was the remote control. Hey, get up there.
Yeah.
Give me another beer and change the channel. Far enough.
Yeah, all five of us spent time as the remote control.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, the worst part was when the dial broke off and you had to use the tweezers to...
Yeah, we had a pair of vice grips that were permanently on the TV.
Or the flathead screwdriver.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I played my Atari.
And then my favorite, and we've referenced this on the show too, is that when the main TV broke, then the one that you replaced it with would just sit on top. But that was like, but it was cool because it was better for eye level because you know the more TVs that you piled up, now we're used to like looking up and like, it's very natural. So I'll even tell Bryce, it's like, yeah, when I was your age, the TV was on the floor. She's like, it was? I'm like, yeah, it was crazy.
That's where you have to go hide.
And, yes.
Yeah, and mom had this TV upstairs. Mm-hmm. I told the story to Kristen. Because the kids are always running around the house, and I'm like, well, back in the day, I used to chase the cats with a water gun.
Of course you did.
And the cats went underneath the TV inside the console. Well, I kept spraying.
Ooh.
I missed the cat, and I shorted out the TV. And I didn't want my mom to take the water gun away, so I took two push pins, and I went inside my closet. And if you look to the extreme left, there was two push pins on the wall. That's where I hung my water gun because I didn't want my mom to take it away.
Yeah, she was very easy to deceive because her eyes were so bad.
Yeah. You had your stash.
And it's still in my garage. That's the part of the story that Kristen didn't like.
And I still have it. Speaking of cats, they would hide in the TV.
Grow up.
And there was another time because, Jude never – there was never a moment from 1982 on that she didn't have at least one – between one and five cats. And they would go into her – she had the same – box spring from when they got married in 1968. So however many years went by, because my father stopped sleeping in the bed, 20 years into the marriage. So however much time went by, there's like a piece of material on the bottom of a box spring, or there would have been then. So it was ripped to the point where cats could just go up there and make nests. And one day, I forget if it was Christopher or Carolyn, was like, Mom, one of your cats had kittens in your bed.
That was Kitty.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was not an uncommon thing.
Yeah, yeah. That was the black cat that we got from our friend Sean, which we talked about whenever he was in the studio.
Right, right, right.
And ironically, Kitty would always find the places to have her kittens in the weirdest places. There was also a spot downstairs by your old room by the old freezer.
Yes, there was.
And that's where I used to jump down the trap door when I used to lock myself in the closet to get away from my mom.
You were the only one. I never tried that. You fit in perfectly.
Yeah, it was a laundry chute, and I used to dive down.
Yeah, Jennifer and I used to sneak out of our windows, but you would go down the laundry chute.
Well, I didn't want to get the belt again.
No, not the belt. Yeah, but we're talking about cats there, and our good buddy Graham Slockbauer, who will remind you of every conversation you ever had with him over the past 40 years.
Yeah, he can't be on the show because we'll never get any music in.
Well, never, ever. But he's the one that turned me on to this, and it's perfect for the show because it's a parody of Alice in Chains' Man in the Box. It's the Cat in the Box right here on Z93.
Yeah.
Colvin Brothers' 100th episode.
Happy birthday, Daddy. Now get better so I can move back in.
On Z93.
From Reno, I was trailed by 20 hounds. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around. Sit out one, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Ran into the devil, baby, loaned me 20 bills. Spent the night in Utah in a cave up in the hills. Sit out and run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. I ran down to the levee, but the devil caught me there. Took my $20 bill and it vanished in the air. I'm running, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Got two reasons why I cry awake, lonely night. The first one's named Sweet Anne Marie, and she's my heart's delight. Second one is prison, baby, the sheriff's on my trail. And if he catches up with me, I'll spend my life in jail. Got a wife in Chino, baby, and one in Cherokee. First one says she got my child, but it don't look like me. Set out running, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
The time go. Lane Pajardi checking in from the newsroom to congratulate the Colvin brothers on 100 shows on their 2-year anniversary. Yes, Casey, and we want to celebrate again next year, so we're wishing Mikey the best of luck with the heart surgery, because we want to keep the name of the show plural, the Colvin brothers on Z93.
It's the Colvin brothers on Z93 coming out of Axis One. You're hearing them right here on Z93.
It sounds like a channel that, like, where you get skewed news. I don't care if it's right or left, but it sounds like a skewed news channel.
Save that question, because when we bring Thomas on in the last break, let's find out how they named the band Axis One. Okay.
That was the evil news channel in the 30s and 40s, right?
I believe it was. Well, that was the one that told you about Reefer Madness.
We were just having a conversation. There's a college kid that works with us in the booth, R&D, great kid. And he was talking about, like, this streaming site that he was going to watch UFC. He's like, I'm not paying $79.99. I'm watching it for free. And I'm like, have you ever heard of buying a Descrambler from Cuba? And he's like, what are you talking
Who died today?
So who died today?
All right. So we're going to guess who died based on your description. I'm sure there's a wrestler in there.
Actually, not this week.
Really? There was a wrestler like 6 weeks in a row.
But one of the characters from your old radio station days, hopefully you still know how to do her.
I haven't done anybody in 6 years. What?
Wait, how's Bryce?
Hey, I had my high school reunion here a couple last week. You know, I've got prospects. I was like, you know, normally I don't like women my age, but you guys look okay.
You guys were exchanging cardiologists?
You know what? I found somebody that's
comparing medical notes.
I found somebody that's healthy, and she lives in another state, so it's perfect.
All right, leading off in 1957. Okay, this gentleman passed away. Comedian and star of some of our favorite movies, including March of the Wooden Soldiers.
I would have to say Stan Laurel.
Oliver Hardy passes away at age 65.
You know, he was first. Now, Stan knows, but here's the thing. The final movie that they did, Stan Laurel looked like he was on death's door, and he ended up living quite a bit longer. But yeah, it was Oliver Hardy that was first. That's right.
All right, we're going to bring in somebody's from Michael's past.
Oh,
I need Marge Schott for this. Do you still hang out with Marge Schott?
Hold on a second, it's Marge Schott. Where? Oh, look at George. What is he? Is he your lawn jockey? What's he doing in here?
Oh,
hey boy!
Flag on the play.
Schott, he just took a dump in it.
Hold on, Chuck's on line three.
That doesn't matter.
And I'm glad you brought up Schottsy, because this was a very sad day for baseball fans. In 1991, on this day, yes, Cincinnati Red Dog mascot Schottsy Schott passed away.
Wow. So then, when I met her in '95, because my old show, me, Tobin, and Wolf went out to Covington Airport, which is really Cincinnati, and we did like three shows from we did Cincinnati shows. So part of the package was we got tickets to see the Reds, and it was perfect because it was just as the teams that they were playing changed. So we got to see the Pirates and the Expos. So when I met the first game, I scoped out where she was sitting, because she always sat in the first row by the Reds dugout. So I was like, I said to Tobin, because, you know, I was fearless in those days. I said, dude, I said, tomorrow's game, I'm interviewing her. And I got an interview with her.
Number three. All right. So 2005 was the year. I know George is somebody that still DVRs the news. He catches up like 3 weeks later. So
he's like that woman that made the headlines about 7 or 8 years ago when she died. They found VHS tapes going back to the 70s of the news. But it was great because it was the only archives that they had of those shows, of those stories in real time, because the actual stations wiped their tapes. So it ended up being, there's a whole documentary on it. I don't know the name of it, but if you Google it, it's supposed to be this fascinating piece about how, because of this woman, you know, being basically a female George, they were able to restore all this original footage from real time.
Yeah, but arguably Betamax would have lasted longer and looked better.
And that's why you invested in Bitcoin. And
this could be true.
Yeah.
All right. So this gentleman was the news anchor for ABC Evening News. He died of lung cancer at the age of 67. Want to take a guess?
I always get them all confused. It's not Brokaw. It's the other one. Peter Jennings.
Peter Jennings is correct.
Now, was he Canadian?
Circle gets a square.
Yes.
Was he Canadian?
I think he was Canadian.
I don't know. Let me ask Jeeves. Breckman, can you help me out?
Well, I just asked Jeeves, and he said that Peter Jennings is both Canadian and dead. Hey, by the way, did anybody see Naked and Afraid last night?
Number four. This is the last one.
That's a big one today.
This was last year.
That's what she said.
Actress famous for her role on Night Court. She passed away.
Marky Post?
Yeah, last year, age 70.
Did she live that long? She just seems young to me.
She was also in There's Something About Mary, the famous scene where he's like, how'd you get the Franks before the beans? You know what I'm talking about? She was married to that gentleman
in
that movie.
She was not Magdalene.
But Marky Post. And ironically, John Larroquette, I believe, is reviving Night Court.
Because everybody else is dead. I mean, Selma died during the original run. We've lost Harry Anderson. We've lost Marky Post. So he has to have a reboot with, like, new people.
Are they bringing Richard Mall back as Bull, the bailiff?
Is he still alive?
I don't know.
He was in House.
That's why I asked. Yeah. I can't remember if he's dead or not.
All right, RJ, correct yourself then. We'll find out next week. We're the Colvin Brothers on Z93.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train. When I was feeling near as faded as my jeans, Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, holding Bobby's hand in mine, we sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose.
Colvin Brothers on Z93, the Colvin Brothers podcast, 100 shows strong. Congratulations, kid.
Congratulations to you.
You know what? We like I said, we started from the top, and here we are. Where's that song from? Is that Beyonce? What did I just do? Oh, no, that was Jay-Z. So we want to get to, we've been teasing this all show, our band that's been playing us in and out. I kind of told my cousin Thomas, I said, because he was like, so what do we do exactly? I said, if you ever watch Jimmy Fallon, the Roots, you know, play in Jimmy, and they play him out. And Axis One is here in the Mad Mike studio, the Mad Mike cave.
Yes, indeed. Complete with a banner now.
Yeah.
I had Gritsy rehanging. Does it look good? It's more balanced now. It's not going to catch fire.
It looks good, but Grits probably wants to be in it, so we'll have to Photoshop him in there.
Nah, he blew his chance.
But Axis One, our cousin Thomas, is going to grab the mic and kind of talk to us about the band. First of all, Thomas, Axis One, where did the name come from? And talk about who's in the band.
So I'm going to actually let Dave, our guitarist, talk about the origin of Axis One, the name.
Okay, well, it's kind of an interesting story, I suppose. In addition to being the guitar player in the band, I'm a psychologist, and the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual has a five-axis, or I had a five-axis code for diagnosing mental illness, and when I was trying to come up with the name for this band, I just thought Axis One was cool.
So is it Access or Axis?
Axis, A-X-I-S.
Because it could go, the way you just described it, it could be A-C-C-E-S-S.
It could be, but it's not.
All right, well, I'll decide if I'm going to spell it right or not in the promo.
We might be able to get him some side hustle. Mental illness, there's a lot of that in the family.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
And despite what my dad thinks, it has nothing to do with World War II.
Your father, Jesus Christ. Even if Q wasn't around, he would have come up with it.
That's a whole nother radio show.
Yeah, you know what? We'll get him in here. What did I tell you about this time? No, not now, John, not now.
All right, so the three band members, we got Thomas, we got Dave.
And we got Ron.
And the bass players never speak. The bass players are always the quietest.
They make a lot of impact, I will say.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially when you're a drummer. You got to follow that bass.
All right. So top influencers. So what's the... Because we're listening to your music. I follow you on the socials, and I hear a lot of cool stuff. So what's the influences?
I would say, you know, we do all rock instrumentals. My main influences for writing the music, I would say, with Joe Satriani.
You know what? It's funny that you bring that up. Joe Satriani, maybe a little Eric Johnson in there too.
Eric Johnson,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I picked up on that. Now, like more like an homage, not that you're ripping, but I'm like, yeah, that reminded me of that. Yeah,
they highly influenced my songwriting, and the way we kind of evolved into doing rock instrumentals was it's very difficult to find a vocalist, a real good one, anyway. And so I started writing instrumentals, and I hooked up with Tom about 5 years ago, and Ron joined the band about 3 years ago, and we just kind of evolved into this. So we're hoping there's a place for us in the music scene here, because I don't think there's a lot of bands doing rock instrumentals, and kind of approaches from Joe Satriani's perspective. In an interview, he once said that, you know, he liked writing music without lyrics because it allowed people to form their own interpretation of the song and let them feel whatever they needed to feel from it. And I think that's kind of the way that I approach it when I do that.
Yeah, the same thing used to be said when MTV first came into prominence and there were holdouts, you know, there were bands that wouldn't put out videos. They're like, well, we don't want to put a video out because we'd rather have people create the picture in their mind. So it's very similar to that.
Similar,
yes. I agree 100%. And for three dudes, you put out a lot of sound.
Thank you.
And you got some big news. Where are you going to be playing in a couple weeks, I should say? A couple days, actually, right?
Yep. So we're going to be, we're very excited to announce we're going to be playing the Chance Theater in Poughkeepsie August 12th. The show starts at 7 p.m. So if you're interested, we would love to see you rocking out. As far as socials, we're still, you know, kind of navigating that. But right now we have a Facebook and we also have a Bandcamp. So you could check us out on Bandcamp. It's access-1.bandcamp.com and facebook.com/access1. So it's access/1. So we'll get into more social, I'm sure, as time goes on. But we're just really excited to show what we've been working on for, you know, several years, really. So
is this about the relationship with your father?
No. Oh, okay. No. You know, it's interesting. The titles of the songs just kind of come to me after the song is written. That's kind of what it reminded me of. And I think, you know, relationships in general are difficult. And when you talk to people about love, usually there's a tough component. It's a lot of work and just kind of
I could write a book just on that. I haven't figured out what my book's going to be. I've got like several different areas to go, but love. Oof, we're staying away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for being part of our 100th show. Second anniversary is a landmark for us and hopefully a launching pad for you guys and your career here in the Hudson Valley, because everybody listens to the Colvin Brothers, right, Stephen?
Well, we need to get out of here and start playing the next 100 episodes.
Yes.
So let's get out of here. Let's kick it to Cousin Thomas and Axis One here on...
The Colvin Brothers Podcast.
Hey, Z93 listeners, it's your old pal, Breckman. I want everyone to know I just released my own fragrance, but nobody in the car seemed to like it.
It's family.